Welcome to the latest edition of the Original 11. My name is Craig Saxon, and on today's show, we will have Eric Ramirez, the senior starting offensive lineman for the Princeton Tigers, an All-Ivy player, and somebody who is about to go for his senior day final home game at Princeton Stadium against the first-place Yale Bulldogs. We'll have somebody who's been part of many, many Princeton-Yale games. That is senior associate head coach and defensive coordinator Steve Verbit, who looks at the Bulldogs' number one offense and the improved play of Tom Johnson this season. We'll also have Cody Kruschel on in the middle to look back a little bit at last weekend's, let's call it controversial, loss to Penn, and then look ahead to Saturday's game against Yale. Quickly first, a reminder, you can subscribe to the Princeton Podcast Network and get every episode of the Original 11, as well as TigerCast, LaxCast, The New Court Report, which is Princeton's women's basketball podcast, and any other podcast directly to your phone. You can search iTunes or any your favorite podcast app. Search Princeton Tigers, IMG, and you'll get all of those downloaded directly to you. Okay, let's get started with this show, and we'll start with our interview with Eric Ramirez. As I mentioned, an All-Ivy player, two-year starter, helped Princeton to the 2016 Ivy League title, and certainly to one of the highest-ranking passing games in the nation this year. The protection that Chad Kanoff has gotten this season has been really impressive and probably a little bit overlooked because of Kanoff's incredible numbers, but you know, the play of guys like Ramirez and Mitch Swigert and George Tia and Richard Bush and Riley Radosevic, you know, has played a big factor in this. Ramirez has been a leader on this group, and he plays one more game at Powers Field this weekend. Let's hear now from Eric Ramirez. Eric, at what point, either in the preseason or early in the season, did you have a sense of what this offense was capable of? And have you even been surprised at kind of the level of production that you guys have been able to put together?
I think that in the spring, I think we had like a very good spring. I think that like that being like we with Chad wasn't there, but a lot of guys were working really hard, and I think that like had a good signs of it. Honestly, for me, it kind of what I noticed was during the summer, I was here, and a lot of the receivers that were here, Jesper was here, Steve Carlson was here. And just like seeing the way those guys work, I knew how much they wanted it. And Chad was here too, and like seeing them like work their chemistry out during that time, I think that's when I kind of realized like, okay, we have they have some really special chemistry, and we might be able to do some things this year.
There's some real chemistry up front, and mm-hmm. you know, where you know the flip side, the defensive line has kind of suffered one injury after another. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys, knock on wood, have played together for now quite a while. I mean, you, Swigert, Tia, I mean, you've been starters now for a couple seasons. Mm-hmm. For an offensive line, how much does just that chemistry and that time together, how much does that impact success?
I think it impacts success a lot, especially in our offense. It's so fast-paced. Things move very quickly. There's a lot of moving parts to it. So when you not only trust the person you're next to, but you kind of understand like how to communicate with them, like what to say on the field, I think that helps so much in like our ability to get calls out and just make sure that like we're being efficient when we're out there.
The speed does, I would have to think, really demand an intense knowledge of the offense. Mm-hmm. At what point did you feel like I have it down? Like the play happened, you know, as soon as it's called, I know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't mean, some could argue that I still don't have it down, but I guess for me, it's always been like something that's been in progress, like something that's been in the works. In general, like knowing like the basis of our offense, probably like sophomore, junior year was when I started to realize like some of the things that like I really had to like think about early on became like second nature. And I think that's like when you run like super up tempo, that's kind of like really important in that sense, that it has some of the things that we do has to become second nature to you.
You guys get the league's top-ranked defense this weekend in Yale in a huge game. I mean, Princeton-Yale games, kind of regardless of records, mm-hmm. are big. But this one obviously has, you know, big championship implications. Mm-hmm. When you've seen film, I mean, it's a senior-laden group, big defensive front. What about them has stood out on film so far this week?
They're very athletic. They're very intense. They play like to the whistle every time, and like schematically, they're just like they're very like they do a lot of interesting things up front that is like really they've had a lot of success this year, and I think I speak for everyone. I say like we're really excited for the challenge.
You know, you guys only get 10 games a year, so it's not like you aren't excited for any of them. But as a competitor, when you know you're facing the top unit in the league, it has to add a little extra something, a chance to really prove yourself, considering, you know, where your offense ranks in the league.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure. I mean, it's obviously, like, you're a competitor. You get competitive in any circumstance. Like, we want to go out there. We want to compete. We want to play our best. But when we have a chance to really, like, make a statement, or not necessarily make a statement, but go against people that, like, are also having, like, incredible year, I think that just, like, ups the ante a little bit.
You've been through three senior days. You know, you've seen how it's impacted other guys. You know, you have a big game, but it's also, you know, those pregames can get a little emotional. How do you kind of envision how you hope to handle senior day, or is it just kind of, you know, I'll see what happens?
For me, I'm like very like routine oriented, and I think I want to limit the distractions, because, you know, I mean, senior day is like awesome, and it is very emotional. You go out there with your families and you see other guys with their families, and it's kind of like a culmination of all the years and of work that you put in. But I mean, we still have a game to play afterwards, so for me, I think the biggest thing I can do is just try to keep it calm, keep it cool, really take it in for what it is, but at the same time, like, understand, like, all right, let's focus on football.
You still have some time before you actually are in the reflection status, but you think about what being part of this team has meant to you, and being part of this senior class of football players. How big a part of your Princeton experience has football, this group, this class been for you?
I mean, it's been everything for me. I mean, you come into Princeton before school starts and you're with these guys, and in every circumstance, like, once you leave, you're still with these guys. You know, you still come back and you see them and you do other things with them. And it's really been more than just being around a team. It's been like a family experience of like growing my family, growing my base. And these are guys that I'm going to talk to for the rest of my life and be around for the rest of my life. So, I mean, football has meant so much to me. And not only as like an athlete or a student, but as like a man, it's taught me so much about what it is, like what life's about. So it's definitely going to be missed.
Back with Cody Cruchel to look back a little bit at last week, and then obviously turn our attention to a big game Saturday against first place Yale. You know, there's certainly a lot to talk about the end of last week's game. I think it's, you know, it's been talked about plenty, and you know, maybe we can touch on it a little bit. But, you know, there were other aspects of that game, some good, some bad. And the one that I think is a big focus, especially heading into this week, is, you know, a Princeton run defense that had been so good all season, you know, really got picked apart on Saturday. And obviously injuries have played an incredible role in that. But regardless, you're now going against the Yale team this week that runs the ball better than anybody in the league. So, you know, what has to change, or what can be changed, you know, from Saturday to going into this week?
You know, on defense, you get to the point, if you're Princeton, you're playing without five or six starters the past couple of weeks, and you just run out of healthy bodies to rotate through. And we saw Cornell sort of put that into practice, and they held the ball for 11 minutes in that fourth quarter en route to that comeback win 2 weeks ago in Princeton. And then last week, Yale took that to another level. You look at what they did. They held the ball for over 36 minutes. That was 13 minutes longer than the Tigers. On the ground, 317 rushing yards, but it wasn't like it was these huge runs. They carried the ball 53 times, so they just wore the Tigers down. And I'm sure we'll talk about him more. I know we're talking about the guy who's been the best running back in the Ivy League, in Zane Dudek, but he's not going to carry the ball 53 times. At least I don't think he will. And they're playing without Deshaun Salter, out with a broken collarbone, so he's done for the season. He was the third leading rusher in the Ivy League. He still is, even though he didn't play last week. And, you know, you kind of forget that they've also played this year, the Bulldogs, without Alan Lamar, who was their top running back last year, second team all Ivy League. So Zane Dudek certainly can hurt you four times. He's been the Ivy League Rookie of the Week. But, you know, behind him, they don't necessarily have the depth that Penn does. And for Princeton, you have all these young bodies out there, and certainly there have been some growing pains on defense. But you have a lot of guys that have played some significant snaps in Ivy League play. So I think that's your hope. You know, Dudek can't stay on the field and carry the ball every play. And you have some guys who finally have some experience being rotated in on defense to try to fill in the gaps with all these injuries.
I think one thing that'll be very interesting to watch, and this was certainly different than the way Cornell ran the ball late 2 weeks ago, but Penn really exploited Princeton in the option game, which we haven't seen much of this year. And, you know, with some of the inexperience on the perimeter, you know, they made Princeton make some tough decisions in the option game and really took advantage. And, you know, Yale has not been known necessarily as an option team this year. And you know, when you have a Zane Dudek, maybe that's probably the right decision. You're probably better off going in a pretty base front with a good line and just letting him run right at you. But, you know, it'll be, will Yale try to do some of that, or will they just kind of go with what they do? And I suspect that's the case. I suspect they will play what Yale's done all year. It's worked. There's no real reason to change it. But, you know, and then it becomes a kind of a matchup of, you know, what Princeton has left, which is, you know, guys who are backups and backups to backups a month and a half ago, but who I thought really battled hard in the second half and gave Princeton a chance to win that game. And, you know, you look at guys like Nico Bayless and Simeon Lane and you know, whoever was out on the field, you give them credit. I mean, for all the yards and all the time possession, Princeton had a chance to win the game. I mean, you can argue they won the game, but regardless of that, you know, this defense is going to have to kind of answer the call another time against a really good offense in Yale. And, you know, on the flip side, you look at what Princeton was able to do, and I got two straight weeks now, Chad Kanoff has gotten the ball with, you know, 80 seconds left last week, 50, I think, against Cornell, and put them in a position to win the game. And, you know, obviously, you know, a missed kick against Cornell and the missed call against Penn, but their execution at the end of games has been really impressive. And I think, you know, kind of, you know, we'll get back to Yale, but looking forward to, you know, maybe the possibility that NFL teams would look at Chad Kanoff, I would look at those last two drives and the poise that he showed and the execution on some of those throws and say, this guy can handle, you know, he can make all the throws, but he can make them in tough, tough spots.
Yeah, Bob Sorace talked about it, you know, a little bit earlier this week. And for Chad Kanoff, if that call doesn't get overturned and Princeton comes away from Franklin Field with a victory, we're talking about it. And Chad Kanoff, that's really his career signature drive. This was a Princeton team that was down by as many as 17, and they moved the ball better in the second half, four second half touchdowns. And, you know, Chad Kanoff, I think he was 6 for 7 on that final drive, if you take that pass to Carlson in the end zone that was ruled incomplete out of it. So that could have been Chad Kanoff's signature drive. You know, that's always the wild card. With everything the Tigers have lost on defense, nobody else in the Ivy League has a Chad Kanoff. I don't know if there's another team in the country that has a guy like Chad Kanoff the way he's been playing right now. I mean, this is a guy, he goes 32 for 45 last week, and his completion percentage drops, which is just astronomical. And, you know, he's still 7 percentage points ahead of Jason Garrett for the best completion percentage in a single season in program history. You know, you have Chad Kanoff, you have Jesper Horsted, you have Steven Carlson. If you can get any semblance of a running game going, I don't care who you have out there on defense, you're going to have a chance.
Yeah, and this will be the best test for Kanoff in this offense, because it is a very similar defense to what Princeton put out last year, which was senior laden on the front, senior laden in the back, impact players, tackle well, you know, get off the field. And when you have a good offense, you can really kind of let loose. You know, Yale can get a lead and they can turn up the pressure. And, you know, in a way, it's a little surprising that they lost that Dartmouth game because that was a case where they got the big lead. But still, it's a group that has been very good, very, you know, dangerous. And I think will be a tough matchup, especially for this good offensive line that Princeton has. This is the toughest defensive line that they'll see all season.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, something has to give, because Princeton has only allowed 8 sacks in 8 games, and Chad Knopf really hasn't been under a ton of pressure. And then you look at the defense they're facing today, Yale, they have 8 seniors in the rotation, and these are 8 really good seniors. They're not just out there because they have, you know, longevity or seniority. And, you know, Princeton's allowed 8 sacks in 8 games. Yale has sacked opposing quarterbacks 33 times in 8 games. That's the second most in FCS. Kind of a page out of Princeton's book. Remember last year, a big reason why Princeton won by a wide margin up at the Yale Bowl was because they put Kurt Rawlings under duress. He was a freshman quarterback, and they chased him around. They sacked him 7 times, and yeah, that's really a key today. The offensive line has stood up, but they haven't faced a pass rush like this, and, you know, that's the thing with Yale. It's not 2 or 3 guys. Their leader in sacks technically isn't a starter on the 2-deep. They have a 2-time All-Ivy League selection in Kopach Tyler, who's technically not a starter on the 2-deep. This is a team with a lot of talent and a lot of depth, and that's really scary.
Yeah, and it sets up for a really fun game. You get a great crowds for alumni weekend. You typically have a really good student showing when, you know, a word that Bob Sorace has not wanted to use all week, but the B bonfire, you know, when that's been up for grabs, students.
Bob Sorace can't use it, but you can.
Yeah. Students have shown up for these games. So, you know, there's a lot at stake. And look, if Princeton is in this game in the fourth quarter, the best player on the field may be Chad Knopf. You know, maybe it's not. Maybe it really is going to be Zane Dudek. Maybe it's going to be somebody on that Yale defense. But look, I'll take my chances with Chad Knopf being the player in the game in the fourth quarter. And you know what? We will see what happens. You got to just kind of make sure you get there. And so offensively, I think they have to avoid those 10-minute swoons that they kind of dealt with against Cornell and Penn. And defensively, if you get to third down, you got to get off the field. I mean, that is going to be critical.
No, I mean, absolutely. And you look at Yale on third down, that's an area where they've struggled. They're third worst in the Ivy League. So as good as this team's been offensively with Zane Dudek leading the charge, that's one area they've struggled, and that's an area that's hurt Princeton, just extended drives, keeping this young and thin defense out there. So if the Tigers can get third down stops, I agree, that's huge.
So 1 o'clock, Senior Day Showdown on Powers Field, Princeton and Yale on 11 Sports and the Ivy League Network. And I'll also listen on the TuneIn app by searching Princeton IMG. Looking forward to it. One more at home and then one more on the road next week at Dartmouth. Somebody who's been a part of more Princeton-Yale games than anybody else on either side is our next guest. He's the longtime defensive coordinator for the Princeton Tigers, senior associate head coach. Let's hear now from Steve Verbit.
Steve, obviously, you know, defensively, you've gone through a number of players this year, and you know, you've dealt with probably more than your fair share of injuries. But one guy that I think has really kind of stepped up, and you can see not only the present but the future in him, has been Tom Johnson, right in that middle linebacker spot. I mean, you've seen some great linebacker play over your time here. What about him? Has any of it surprised you, or is this kind of what you expected out of him?
No, to be honest with you, he's exceeded our expectations. You know, we knew coming into the season that he's an energetic, enthusiastic player, but he had never really stepped up and did the things that he's doing right now. He was a good, solid football player that played with energy and enthusiasm. Now he's that same type of player that's just stepping up and making a ton of football plays, you know, from the inside and running sideline to sideline. So he continues to get better on a daily basis, and he's become an outstanding linebacker in our league right now.
Did his responsibilities change with Fassadi's injury? Because I know there was a lot of, you know, pre-snap stuff that Mark could do. Did you have to put more on his plate, and how quickly was he able to figure that out?
You know what, he's always been good at it. I mean, you talk about guys that are students of the game and that commit a lot of time and effort to learning as much about the opponent and as much about your system as you possibly, you know, can do. And so he's always done that. But he always had a sidekick with Mark Fassadi, because Fassadi's a, you know, he's a gym rat. He's the same type of young man. So with the loss of Mark, now everything was put on the shoulders of Tom. And, you know, so I'm sure it weighs him down just a little bit more than when he did have his helper. But he's done a phenomenal job. He's a tremendous, tremendous communicator. And he loves the additional weight on the shoulders in terms of getting our guys lined up and communicating and making sure that they're in the right call based upon what he sees across the line of scrimmage.
He's going to have his hands full this weekend with you know, arguably the best running back in the league in Dunick, who you know, is doing things that really nobody has done as a rookie besides Chuck DiBilio in this league. When you look at the film, I mean, he's got a big group up front that you know, good offensive lines tend to be forgotten, but what about their run game and Dudek in particular has impressed you?
I mean, their run game is not only one of the best in the Ivy League, probably one of the best in the country, and it starts up front. You know, they've got a lot of height. Most of their guys are in that 6'4", 6'5" range and are somewhere between 295 and 315. So, like I said, it starts up front. They've got good size. They're very, very athletic, and they're a physical group. But Dudek is just outstanding. You know, you never expect a freshman to come in and do the things that he's done. But the thing that's most impressive about him is the outstanding vision. You know, he seems to have eyes on the back of his in the back of his head and the sides. He makes cuts. His jump cuts. You know, you just sit there and he wows you as you watch the film. Good tough runner. Great change of direction. And has tremendous vision. So it's going to be a fun game to get involved with this week in terms of the challenge of stopping Dudek and their entire offensive front.
You know, we saw Rawlings as the quarterback, Kurt Rawlings, as a freshman last year, and you know it's an offense that obviously wants to run the ball and assert itself, but it has to do enough in the passing game to keep defenses honest. What have you seen in his growth? And, you know, he's got three receivers that he, you know, it's not like anybody has the Jesper Horsted type numbers, but it seems like he just likes to spread it around. And is it as much just to kind of keep it balanced?
Well, you know what? It's all about the growth process, and the game's about experience. And last year he was a freshman, and our game may have been the first game he started last year or the second, not sure. So he's got a lot of games under his belt right now, and he was able to learn over the winter, learn over the spring and summer, and then go into preseason training camp and continue the growth process. And now he controls the game. I mean, he's much more relaxed, and he's got good people around him. There's no doubt that they do want to run the football. You know, that's their forte, but you do have to keep people honest also so they can't load the box. And he's a very, very accurate passer, and he takes what the defense gives him.
I know you have your hands full with this offense this weekend, but, you know, Princeton is having its captains all return to the stadium this weekend for a halftime festivity. If somebody like you who's been part of this program now for over three decades, I mean, there's so many of them that it's not only that you've known, but you coached, you recruited. How special is it for you personally to have, you know, decades worth of captains returning and to see kind of where this program has come?
I mean, there's nothing better than friendship. There's no question about that. And anytime you have an opportunity to get together with great friends is extremely special. And you tie that in with, you know, the game against your traditional rival. I mean, it's why we're all here. You know, we all love Princeton. We're all fighting for the common cause. And it's going to be a great weekend for all of us to get together and, you know, and enjoy Saturday afternoon.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. A reminder, Saturday's game is a 1 o'clock start. It'll be on 11 Sports and the Ivy League Network. You can also listen to it on 103.3 FM, WPRB, as well as the TuneIn app by searching Princeton